This is the Mike Mularkey Show on Titans Radio. General Manager John Robinson going to be the guest for our next two segments. Your chance to talk with the GM. Ask him questions. 877-848-2671. 877-848-2671. Twitter questions at Titans Radio. Probably a lot of questions from Obion County, his home county. Here he comes. Titans getting ready to take on the Jacksonville Jaguars coming up Thursday night at Nissan Stadium. We're on the air at 6:30 Central, 7:30 Eastern with Titans Countdown. And kickoff is set for 7:25 Central, 8:25 Eastern. And we look forward to seeing all of you there. And hopefully, if you can't be there, you'll tune into this Titans radio station to follow it. John Robinson, obviously a different week for everybody in the building, especially for the coaching staff. What's it like for the personnel staff? Is it as sped up for you guys?
Yeah, I mean, it was a quick turnaround after Sunday's game. You know, we kind of took stock of the injuries, made sure we had enough guys for practice, even though it's, you know, shortened couple practices, but made sure the coaches had enough. We had enough guys out there to get through practice last night, today, and tomorrow.
You really don't have time to make roster moves right now, do you?
Well, you know, it's such a quick turnaround to get a player in and get him acclimated to the offense or defense and expect anything, you know, relevant out of him, you know, play wise, outside of a package or a couple special plays here and there. You really don't. So the move, if you were to make any moves this week, it would really be for, you know, the weeks in the future.
Kind of like what the Jaguars have had to do, though, is they have Roy Miller, a talented defensive lineman who pops an Achilles, out for the year, and they bring a guy up from the practice squad named Richard Ash to take his spot. That's really the only way you can do it, or that you want to, because you just have to, right?
Yeah, and he's a player that's obviously familiar with their system, so, you know, he'll plug in there and he'll know the calls and terminology, so there's not a lot of newness for him, you know, to have to learn in a short time frame.
Let's go to Joey, who's phoning on a cell tonight. We're glad to have you with us, Joey, and welcome you to the Mike Mularkey Show. Our special guest, Titans General Manager John Robinson.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Hey, John, I got two kids in college that just got midterm grades. Curious and wondering. Coaching staff, players, units of the football team, what's some of your assessments of midterm grades, so to speak, halfway through the season for some of these players and players and coaches? A's, B's, D's, F's, anything jump out at you?
Yeah, no, I think that's a great question, Joey. I think we're progressing in the right direction. Having gone and watched a lot of the film from last year, And taking stock of where we're at this year, I think that, you know, the players are improving on a day-to-day basis. And I think we're coming up with game plans that are strategic and can put us in position to win. And I think we're going to continue to look at plays that were successful and build off those. And, you know, same thing with players. You know, they make good plays. They try to replicate that, you know, week in and week out. And the things that don't work so well, obviously try to either fix those things or move to something different.
Got some choices to make at the corner position with Parrish Cox status certainly up in the air as he's in concussion protocol. And you have Bryce McCain, you have Valentino Blake. But having some questions today about LaShawn Sims and his progress, this is a guy you seem to be very excited about.
Yeah, you know, I really liked LaShawn last year when he was, you know, he was a collegiate player. And I went to the East-West Shrine game, I think it was, and had a good showing there. He's a longer corner, which, you know, a lot of times those guys are smaller in stature out there. LaShawn can really run. He's got some physicality to him. He works as a gunner on punt for us. He's really done a nice job. He might say two words in a 5-minute conversation with him. He's a very quiet guy, but has a very workman's type attitude. He stays after practice every single day at practice and works with our corners coach, our DB coach, Deshae Townsend, on techniques, who played in the league for a long time. And he's working on, perfecting his craft. He wants to be good. And, you know, that's the mindset that we're asking of all of our players, is to do something extra to stand out to us, to the coaches, so that, you know, you can be a productive player for us.
Kevin Byard, more play time coming for him in the near future?
Yeah, I think Kevin is another guy that he's done a nice job for us. think he had 19 or 20 interceptions at, you know, at Middle, and he's came in and he's plugged right in. He's been a core player in, on special teams for us. He's our personal protector on punt team, which is a, you know, that's a pretty tall task. He makes all the calls and the checks when their punt return team adjusts and tries to move here or there. He adjusts the blocking scheme to get us in the most advantageous position possible. So that's a pretty important position, and he's accepted that, and he's gotten a lot of work on defense too, and he's been productive.
You're listening to John Robinson, Titans general manager, our special guest tonight on the Mike Mularkey Show at 877-848-2671. Your chance to call and talk to the GM, 877-848-2671. Also, Twitter questions at Titans Radio. So has Taylor Lewan come by your office to demand that his contract be renegotiated now that he is a touchdown catcher? Can you live with him?
He has not.
To his credit.
He has taken the team first approach and just whatever it takes to help the team win. He's really done a nice job. He's bought into, you know, philosophically what we want to be about. He had an outstanding off season. You know, carried that over into training camp, and you know, he along with that entire offensive line have really, you know, really done a nice job of, you know, kind of paving the way for the backs and protecting Marcus.
What was the general manager's reaction when you saw the ball go to number 77 at the 10-yard line?
Just catch it first. First and foremost, catch the football.
Did you know it was going there?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I did.
And so you see him with the ball, and you're okay with it at that point?
Yeah, then it's just like he's big and he's fast. Just run and don't let him catch you.
It was like he got to the end zone, and he was almost the dog who had caught the car.
Yeah,
he had no idea what to do.
Yeah, the celebratory, you know, post-touchdown, that probably needs some work. They can't choreograph anything, you know, technically per league rules.
Do you think he could anyway?
I think there could, you know, he could maybe put a little bit more into it.
CJ in Hendersonville, you're on the Mike Mularkey Show with our very special guest, General Manager John Robinson. Go right ahead.
Hey, brother. I got a question to you about Marcus and his technique. And my question for you is, who is working with him with the base of his technique? It seems like he struggles a little bit with his footwork and throwing the ball. And second of all, is this something that you truly believe he's a franchise quarterback? And finally, in the draft next year, will you look to add depth to that position?
Yeah, all good questions there, CJ. You know, I think Marcus made the point today and after practice about how he's, you know, there's been a couple of throws that he wish he had back where he let his, you know, he got nervous or rattled in the pocket and he threw off his back foot instead of transferring his weight from his back to his front when he's on his follow through. He works with that. He works on that stuff daily with, you know, with Jason Michael and Terry Rubisky and Coach Mularkey. They're all out there with him. He knows he needs to do everything right, just like all the players. They've got to get better at every little thing. And, you know, he's working at that. You know, it's very important to him. I think that, you know, he is a pivotal piece to this franchise. He's going to be here for a long time, and we're looking to continue to build around him.
All right, Twitter question. This one is actually coming from Obion County. It's Brad. He says, have you seen any wide receivers or cornerbacks worthy of first-round picks, maybe some inside linebackers as well? Go Rebels.
Oh, that's a shot across the bow there.
Is that right?
Well, that was our rival there. You know, now we owned them when I was in high school
okay.
for the most part. The Golden Tornadoes of Union City there.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Yeah. I think they're pretty good this year too.
They've lost one game.
Endured several injuries, but they keep battling. Now Obion Central, they got us in basketball a couple times. I think maybe once. Yeah, it's a pretty good draft. There's good players at all the positions. I was at the Texas A&M Alabama game on Saturday. I drove down and watched a little bit of that, and there were a lot of really really good football players on the field for both sides of those teams. So our scouts are on the road right now taking stock of all those guys. We'll have meetings coming up here in about 7 weeks in December, a first round of meetings, and talk through the draft board and start getting that, you know, try to get that set for the most part, and then, you know, work through the all-star games, the combine, and just continue the process.
We've got one more segment with the Titans general manager, John Robinson. You can ask him a question at 877-848-2671. 877-848-2671. Twitter questions at Titans Radio. Titans Radio on the air. As a matter of fact, exactly 48 hours from right now, we will be going on the air with Titans Countdown from Nissan Stadium. Titans and the Jaguars. Looking forward to that. Coach Mike Mularkey, usually the biggest part of the Mike Mularkey Show, as the name would indicate. But tonight, back to work quickly he went after doing one segment. And kind enough to pinch hit for him is Titans General Manager John Robinson. Carson in Franklin is the leadoff caller in this segment for the GM. Carson, welcome to Titans Radio.
Hey, so I would like to know what a typical day is like from time you wake up, John, until the time you go to sleep. And then my other question is, with all the moves you made over the off season, which one have you liked the most, made the most impact for the team? I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Carson. It, usually donuts at 9, steak at lunch, quick nap, and then back home for dinner. I'm just kidding. It's, you know, we're up and at it pretty early. I like to get in before, or at least when the coaches are in. kind of take stock of the day, do my to-do list. I usually write down 4, 5, 6 schools that I want to try to watch throughout the course of the day on film or players. And get the medical report in the morning, go to squad meeting, go over the schedule, back to film, you know, and then watch practice, come back in, take stock of the waiver wire, see if there's anybody out there, have meetings with the personnel department, watch a little bit more college film or pro film that night, try to stay on top of our opponent, you know, see what we're going to be facing that particular week, and then try to get out of here at 8:39, 9:30 at night. You know, at least for the first part of the week. The later part of the week, the hours are a little bit shorter. Not much, though.
You are the ultimate multitasker.
Yeah, you have to, because you never win. There's inevitably going to be a knock on your door, and you got a meeting about budgets or about, you know, this past spring we did a ton of facility improvements around here. You're talking about paint colors and, you know, new bubble, and the term general is, it's a very, I've said it, you know, probably more than once now, it's a very broad term that I have to, you know, stay in tune with the team. And you know, I forgot the second part of your question there, Carson.
We'll get that real quickly, because I was glancing down to see.
Oh yeah, the most impressive move this past offseason. You know, I think all of those moves that we made are paying dividends. You know, all those guys are contributing. I think potentially the most impactful move for, you know, the depth and the competitive nature of the team was the trading of the first overall pick and being able to move back 14 slots to 15,
right,
and then back up to 8 and pick up 2 extra second round picks, a 1 and a 3 for 17. You know, I think those, we were able to take one pick and turn it into, you know, potentially 5, 6, 7 players if we keep all the picks next year. So that one could potentially prove to be the most impactful.
All right, here's a Twitter question along the same lines. Trade deadline 1 week from today, 3:00 Central Time on November 1st. This one is from Belvis wanting to know, are you considering making a move for a corner? I hear Joe Hayden might be available. Of course, you can't discuss players under contract.
No. I think we take every situation that comes up. You know, I've got, you know, several contacts throughout the league that we stay in contact with, and if they're looking to move a player or they're looking to add a pick or something, you know, however high it might shake out, you know, we have those discussions and take each situation individually and talk through it and do what's best for the football team.
So you're not going to give us a wait and see like you did around the draft, or that was your comment on multiple occasions. Just going to have to wait and see what happens.
Yeah, that's probably what will happen.
Wow. Brian in Nashville, thanks so much for joining us tonight on the Mike Mularkey Show. Special guest, General Manager John Robinson.
Hey, Mr. Robinson. My question for you is about the defense. And to my account, there's about 7 amazing quarterbacks out there, and they're really hard to find. Would you use the blueprint maybe like Mike Zimmer and the Vikings, where you really build up the defense and then you don't put as much pressure on your quarterback?
Yeah, a great question. You know, I do think that it's we've talked for the last couple of weeks about being complementary, playing complementary football. You know, you've got to your defense has to we've got to stop them from scoring or at least, you know, be a bend but don't break type, you know, type defense. And get the ball back to the offense. I think that's the ultimate goal of any defense is to get the ball back to the offense as quickly as possible without giving up as few points as possible. So, you know, I think, you know, we made some moves in the offseason, you know, kind of bolstering that side. We'll continue to look at players to bolster both sides of the football team. Anything we can do from a roster standpoint, a personnel standpoint, to put the best product on the field, that's what we're going to do.
877-848-2671, 877-848-2671. Just a few more minutes with John Robinson as we visit about the Titans roster and everything going on with this ball club. When you were asked the question about the most impactful trade that you made, I almost thought you would come out with DeMarco Murray because it was the one that really grabbed everybody's attention. I mean, you're talking about a guy who has 98 carries in the month of October. He's been awfully good to you all year, and particularly in this month.
Yeah, that's I didn't mean that to
sure.
minimize that trade at all. DeMarco has been a huge part of what we've been able to do here. But I think in terms of team and adding multiple players that can have an impact on the football team. And, you know, I don't know how many times the first overall pick's been traded, you know, that there was a stat and all that going around back in April. There's a lot going on since then. But I think that, you know, having DeMarco on the football team, he's bought into what we want to be about as a franchise, and he's been really, really good for us.
Brandon has a good question on Twitter. He says, in a perfect world, would you like to fill holes in the roster in free agency so you can take the best player available in the draft?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think you look at every situation. You look at the cost of adding players in free agency. You know, what is the cost of adding player A? Well, how is that going to impact salary cap? How is that going to impact your cash flow? And if it makes sense, then you do it. That's one less player that you potentially have to draft. And vice versa. You look at the depth of free agency, and does it look like, well, I can really get this player at this position in the draft because the draft's deep at that position and it's really lean in free agency. So you might attack, a heavy supply position in free agency and not draft a player at that position. So every situation, every draft, every year is it's kind of its own entity.
Do you feel like based on what you did last offseason and then what Mike and the coaching staff have done so far with this ball club, you're going to have more credibility with agents and their clients, the free agents, when free agency starts in March, more so than you did a year ago? That the Titans, not just John Robinson, but that the Titans will have more credibility?
I wouldn't say we didn't have credibility. I think a lot of the agents that we spoke to, once free agency started, once you could have those discussions with those players, there were players that were, that were interested in coming here. They liked the foundation that we had in place. They liked the fact that we had a quarterback, like the city of Nashville. It's an awesome place to live. And I think they can see on the horizon what's coming, with this football team. Sometimes it just works out where, Club B is going to pay this guy more money and he can't turn that down. He's only got one chance to make that contract. So, I think that, that plays a factor into it. To some degree.
Another Twitter question wondering, I got to get this open very quickly, but it was asking, and this is from Craig, what are the Titans' plans to replenish the depth of the offensive line with the latest injuries?
Yeah, we've got some players on the on the team now that have played, a lot of football. Brian Schwenke he filled in there last week. Sebastian Totola is a guy we took in the sixth round, I think, last year from Arkansas. Played pretty good in the preseason, and he's done a nice job in practice for us. Dennis Kelly's played in there at guard, when he was up in Philadelphia. So I think that's one of the things that we set out to do in the offseason is to bolster the depth of the offensive line so that when injuries do occur, you can have a guy that you can plug in there, and the offense or, you know, defense or whatever position group it is can kind of keep plugging away.
Your overall depth has turned out to be one of the nicest, not a surprise, but you never quite know until you start playing games, and it looks like this depth has held up well, which has to please you.
Yeah, and, you know, it's really a testament to the players and the coaches and the training staff. And they've done a really good job of taking care of their bodies and practicing. The quality of the depth, I think, is better. I think we've got guys that can go in there and can play winning football until we get back healthy. Knock on wood, we haven't had a ton of injuries. But, you know, this past weekend we had some bumps and bruises that crept up on us. And because of the short week, it may be a little bit bigger factor than maybe in a regular week. But I think the depth of the football team, like we said back in January, was, you know, to be as competitive and as deep as possible.
Primetime football, 48 hours from now at Nissan Stadium, Titans and the Jags. John, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, we're looking forward to getting back out there and getting back on track of what we want to accomplish this season. And really appreciate the fans. The last 2 weeks, they've been outstanding at Nissan Stadium. It's been loud. And stick with us, hang in there, and we're going to get this thing headed in the right direction.
Titans General Manager John Robinson, thanks for taking time tonight.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the Mike Mularkey Show on Titans Radio. I'm Mike Keith, pleased to be joined by the Editor-in-Chief of the MMQB, Peter King. Thank you so much for taking time with us tonight. We really appreciate it.
Hey, my pleasure, Mike. How you doing, Mike Mularkey?
Well, Coach is back to work because this football team's playing Thursday night. So I'll let him know you said hello. And let me ask you first and foremost, we've got no undefeated team in the NFL. Who's the best ball club you have seen so far?
Oh, boy. Probably New England. I think, you know, New England shows me the ability to play defense at a B-plus level and to be an A offensive team, even though the running game is very, very light. But, you know, it's one of those things at this time of year, Mike, it almost changes week to week. I think I saw Seattle on Sunday. I was out in the desert. I saw Seattle and Arizona. And I really like Seattle's defense, but offensively, obviously, they're flawed because they, like so many teams in the league right now, are having so many problems protecting the quarterback. It's amazing. I've covered the NFL for 32 years, and I'm not saying this is the worst I've ever seen offensive line play, but if not the worst, it's one of the top two or three years. It's everybody is just having a lot of problems protecting their quarterback.
All right, you mentioned the Arizona-Seattle game, and you wrote some great stuff for Monday about that game. It's been referred to by many who watched it as the best worst game they've ever seen. The 6-6 tie. Is it the best worst game you've ever seen? It was entertaining.
Well, I mean, you know, there's so many aspects of that game that I found interesting. I mean, number one, you don't see a lot of great defensive games these days. Okay? But that was, I thought, a really, really good defensive game, okay, number one. And if you're going to see a great defensive game, there are going to be a lot of punts. There were 15 punts in the game. And nobody likes to see 15 punts, but that's going to, that's what happens when you play great defense. You know, you're going to stop people. But I think one of the other interesting things is, a buddy of mine, Ross Tucker, who does a lot of radio and also writes a column, basically said that after the game that, you know, this is really what's wrong with overtime. You know, it kind of extended a bad game and everything because both teams needed to get a possession. And to me, I think so many great things happened in that game. Not great, but really interesting, compelling things. The two misses of short field goals that just sort of took your breath away. Russell Wilson's 27-yard beautiful drop on a dime out of the sky to Jermaine Kearse that kept kept Seattle's potential game-tying drive, game-winning drive going with 2 minutes to go. And look, I think we've been conditioned to see football goes so wide open that when it's either a defensive game or a running game, everybody said, man, that's boring. I don't know. I don't think really good defense is boring. I think, though, that combined with that defense was really some, you know, both teams having major problems on the offensive line, and that contributed to the defenses being able to be so dominant. But I look at Tennessee now, Mike, and that's really, I mean, they're trying to win with Dick LeBeau and DeMarco Murray, you know, and you know, trying to win with strong defense and a running game. And, you know, look, I'm very bullish on Marcus Mariota's future, but I do think that there's something to be said for playing football in a traditional way, especially when that's what your personnel does best.
I don't think there's anybody who talks to more people around the league, players, coaches, GMs, people away from football, broadcasters, than Peter King does. So I'm interested to ask you this. With all of the talk about the off-field issues, which have come to light again with this Josh Brown situation, I want to ask you, Peter, what do you think, in your talks with people everywhere you go, is the biggest on-field problem right now with the National Football League?
I would say the inability of coaches to be able to really improve their teams a lot through practice and on-field work, mostly in the off-season, but also during the season. You know, over and over again, you know, coaches are saying to me that often one of the reasons offensive line play is so poor is that we don't get a chance to work on it very much in the off season. You can't hit in the off season. You can only, you know, sort of almost model what you want your offensive linemen to do. So, Mike, if I had to pick one thing, I would say that the inability to practice at full speed in the off season, which I think is probably having the most deleterious effect right now on offensive lines around the league.
Editor-in-Chief of the MMQB, Peter King, is our special guest tonight on Titans Radio. I know you love baseball. You love it when the trade deadline comes along. I know you love it when the Red Sox pick up somebody good to help them down the stretch. Trade deadline in the NFL is now less than a week away. 4 o'clock Eastern time, 3 o'clock Central next Tuesday. Is there going to be a big name or big names who get dealt before the football trade deadline?
There are three big names that I believe could be dealt, but only if the offer is really, really good. And that's Joe Thomas and Joe Hayden of the Cleveland Browns, the tackle and cornerback respectively, and Joe Staley, the left tackle of the San Francisco 49ers. Everybody in both camps, in Cleveland and San Francisco, everybody has said, essentially, we're not trading those guys. But I would make this point that every team will always say, like with Joe Thomas, we're not trading him. Well, they came about 20 minutes and a very, very slightly improved offer away from trading Joe Thomas to the Denver Broncos last year. I think one of the only teams that could afford to do something either with, and they could use Thomas or Staley, is New England. They have some cap room, particularly as it pertains to next year when they would need some cap room, you know, to handle those guys. And so my guess is if anybody trades for him, it would be New England. It's not really New England style, but I do think that New England would be interested. I think that the other two teams that played Sunday night, Arizona and Seattle, both have to be interested in Joe Thomas. Now, give credit to the Browns. The Browns have 8 million draft picks in the next couple of years, and they realize that you know, all draft picks and no talent is not the way to build a team. So I definitely don't think they're looking to trade Joe Thomas, but they almost did on the trading deadline last year, and I think if they get an offer of a 1+ something, I think they'd strongly consider it this year.
Most interesting story of these three players: Jaquez Rogers, journeyman running back who just had another great game for Tampa Bay, Lorenzo Alexander, 33-year-old journeyman outside linebacker who leads the NFL in sacks with 9, or Jay Ajayi, who we saw 2.5 weeks ago, and at that time he barely had 100 yards rushing total, and now he's the fourth man in NFL history to put up back-to-back 200-yard games. Best story of the three.
I think it's Ajayi because, look, I don't know how many people realize this. This guy runs back-to-back 200-yard games in Week 6 and Week 7. In Week 1, he was pouting because he hadn't beaten out Lamar Miller. He thought he had for the starting running back job in Miami, and he was pouting so much that Adam Gase left him behind when the team flew from Miami to Seattle for the opening game. And now, all of a sudden, he's had these ridiculously, you know, strong two games in a row. The one other thing I think right now about the way, you know, and I'll talk all three of those guys, just no league is better than inventing stars than the NFL is. And I think it's very, very easy, particularly if you have a good offensive line, to have a sudden star in the backfield or have a sudden receiving star because your quarterback has enough time to throw.
Final question. How much does the NFL miss the presence of Peyton Manning right now?
A lot. I think in the first 4 weeks of the season, when the drumbeat was starting for why in the world the ratings are down so much, I think the one thing that people weren't giving enough attention to is the fact that Tom Brady and Peyton Manning were not playing. And I think that because I think any time you knew that Peyton Manning was going to be on a game or playing in a game, you'd make sure that you would watch at least part of it. So I think that has been part of the ratings decline. But more than that, I think that Manning almost has been a, you know, he's sort of just been the bell cow for this league for, you know, for 15, 18 years. And I think missing him and not really replacing him, you know, hurts the overall television product. But I will say this. I think Trevor Siemian is one of the most interesting stories to come in the league at that position. One of the 3 to 5 most interesting since Kurt Warner. I mean, here's a guy who platooned at Northwestern. So I think he's, I think, you know, as the NFL continues to create stars, somebody is going to emerge, maybe not to be a Peyton Manning, but to be a really good player.
The editor-in-chief of the MMQB, Peter King, an honor to have you with us on Titans Radio. Thanks so much for taking the time.
My pleasure, Mike. Thank you for having me.
All right. Our producer tonight is Brandon Hagany, our traffic director, Kendra Holt, director of sales, Hunter Rice, operations manager, Charlie Cook, general manager, Allison Warren, and the executive producer of Titans Radio is Rhett Bryan. Titans are back in action, 6:30 Central, 7:30 Eastern, two nights from now, Thursday night, taking on the Jacksonville Jaguars. We're on the air with Titans Countdown. We hope you'll join us. For our fine staff, Mike Keith says thanks for listening. Good night, everybody.
The Mike Mularkey Show, an exclusive production of Titans Radio. Get more on this week's game at TitansRadio.com. This is Titans Radio.